It's Plant Talk with Dave DeCock taking over the KFGO airwaves. Retired horticulturalist Dave DeCock is with us every single Thursday during the growing season. And, of course, we've got fantastic sponsors who make this possible each and every week for us. The folks at Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm on the line with us. Dave, how has growing been this week, sir?
Pretty good.
So we're going to get into this right away because we've just got a mountain of stuff right here. And if you want to give Dave a call, if you've got a question about your lawn, your garden, trimming a tree, taking care of some of those pests, you can get us at the studio 701-237-5948. Toll free 1-800-880-5346. Let's clean up some of these text messages right away. Dave, when do we fertilize our yards? Is it a good time now?
Well, as far as fertilizing, I assume we're talking about lawns. As far as lawns, if you do a lot of watering and you've got irrigation and you do it every other day like you can, then midsummer is an okay time to fertilize. If you don't water, if you're like me, too cheap to buy the water, usually you fertilize in the spring, late May, and then after Labor Day in the fall. So twice a year is normal. If you do a lot of watering, then three times a year would be fine.
Now, Dave, is there a rhyme or reason to when you should fertilize? So, for example, if you see that there's maybe a rainstorm in the future, should you do it the day before? Does that make any difference?
Well, that would be great because then that would dissolve the fertilizer and get it down in the soil to the plants themselves. Now, if you use a weed and feed or something, then you want to put the fertilizer and the weed killer down a day or so before the rain so it gets a chance to affect the weeds before it gets washed off.
All right, let's go to this one. This person says, I have some raspberries creeping into my grass and lily beds. Is there any way to get rid of raspberries without harming the grass or flowers?
There are grass killers available that a person could use. And post and fusarade are the two chemicals that are used, and they will kill grass, but they won't kill broadleaf plants. So you could use those if you just wanted to get the grass out. But if it's things like raspberries or something, then you'd have to be a little more careful.
Okay. This is an interesting question. Do oak trees have acorns every year?
Not necessarily. Sometimes they have a lot of them. Sometimes they have a few. It's sort of like apple trees or a lot of other trees. If they have a heavy crop one year, they tend to have a light crop the next year. You may get a few on the off years, but there are years they have a lot more than other years.
Here's another one for you, Dave. Suggestions on what to spray apple trees with, and should I wait to spray until fall harvest?
No. If you're going to spray apple trees, the reason, I assume they're talking about apple maggots, because that's probably the most common problem around here. Usually we start spraying about the 25th of June, and then every week to 10 days, if you use Liquid 7, there's other chemicals available too that you could use where you don't have to spray quite so often. But usually we start about the later part of June, and we continue, depending on what variety it is. If it's like a Harrelson that's very late, then you would spray for a longer period of time than if it was a Sweet 16 or something that matured earlier.
So really it comes down to the variety of tree makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
On that.
The variety has to do with it because some varieties ripen much earlier than the others. And the earlier varieties, of course, you don't have to spray as often or for as long a period of time.
Okay, let's go. The phone line on the line for you, Dave, is Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Dave. How's it going today?
Good.
When's the best time to transplant a raspberry plant?
Usually spring or early fall would be the times that you would do it. If you're going to transplant with raspberries, you want to transplant the new plants that are coming up. I assume now that if you've got a raspberry patch, you've got the old mature canes that were there from last year. You've got the new suckers that are coming up this year. The suckers would be the ones that you would try and transplant.
Okay. And then how much? An established plant. I just bought a house last fall, and it's in a flower garden. Why? I don't know. But it looks like about 5 mature stems. I don't see any new shoots. About how much of the root ball should I take? About an ice cream pail size? Or?
Oh, that should be plenty. But you're also going to want to cut the plant back pretty severely when you do that, because when you do dig them up, they have a lot of suckering and a lot of root systems, so you tend to lose some of the root systems. So when you do transplant them, probably cut the cane back to about 6 inches high.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thanks very much.
Sounds great. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Next on the line, we have Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
Hello. I have a raspberry question, too. We have three patches of raspberries. One we inherited when we moved here 15 years ago.
Okay.
And then I brought along about 6 plants, and since then, about five years ago or so, we got nursery plants, about 4 of them, and put them in a totally different place, about 200 feet away. Here's the problem.
Right.
And I've been ignoring it for 5, 6, 7 years, hoping that it would go away, but it's not. It's getting worse. What happens is the canes will be beautiful, loaded with berries, and suddenly an entire cane will just wilt, turn brown, it's dead. And so far this year, I'll bet I have pulled at least 2 dozen of those, pulled them or cut them. And I fear it's something called Verzilium wilt. Have you heard
that? It may be that, you know, that's a possibility. The other thing now, this cane, when the cane dies, does it die all the way to the ground or just the top portion die?
It seems like the entire cane dies.
I used to have a problem with my raspberries, and it was a cane borer that would get into them, and the cane borer would get into it, and when it got into it, it would work a lot like a birch borer in birch trees would work. It would hatch out and it would burrow around the stem, and when it did, then everything above that died. And that was usually the older canes that had the fruit on that I had the problem with.
Right, and they.
So that's another possibility. If they're dying all the way to the ground, then I would guess the problem may be, you know, it may be some type of wilt disease.
Is there any way that can be treated?
I would not think so. If they're dying all the way to the ground when they die, I would guess probably not. Now, another problem with raspberries is the recommendation was, at least when I was with the extension, that the older the raspberry plants got, the more diseases they picked up. There's a lot of viruses they get, and the older they are, the more likely they are to get these viruses.
That's
and so our recommendation was is always to buy new plants, not to keep using old plants.
That's why I did buy some about 5, 6 years ago.
Sure.
And I started a new stand in totally different ground, but they have the same problem. They do the same thing, quite as severely.
Now, the other thing you could do, if you want to, there's a diagnostic lab up at NDSU.
Okay.
And what you could do is when one of these plants starts to die, you could dig the whole plant up and take it and put it in a plastic bag or something, take it up to NDSU and to the plant diagnostic lab, and they would analyze it. And if it is a virus or a disease, they should be able to isolate it for you.
Is there anything like that closer to Bemidji? That's where we're calling from. That
you could check. Do you have a? You must have an extension office in Bemidji.
Probably. I'll do that.
Okay. I would check. Call the extension agent first and find out how you would get that checked.
Okay.
Because I'm sure Minnesota has a lab down in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Talk to the agent first and find out how you can get this sample down so they can check it for you.
All right. Thank
you, Dave. Sounds great. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Beverly. Chuck, we've got you on hold. Sit tight with us. If you want to get on the line, if you had a question about your lawn, your garden, flowers, vegetables, whatever it happens to be, give us a call at KFGO 237-5948. We'll get you on with Dave DeCock. You're listening to Plant Talk until 2 o'clock today on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
Back to Amy and JJ on 94.1 FM and the Mighty 790 News Radio KFGO.
Plant Talk with Dave DeCock on the KFGO airwaves. Dave, let's go straight back to our callers. You've got them lined up at 237-5948. Up next is Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Dave. I got a strawberry question. I've got an old stock tank, and I want to plant strawberries in there, kind of keep them grilled. Will they freeze out in the wintertime because they're above ground?
Yeah, I'm afraid that they would. You know, a stock tank. How big a cross is a stock tank?
Well, it's 8 feet long, and I suppose it's 3 feet wide.
Yeah, I'm afraid it would. If it was buried down, so it was just a few inches above ground level, you might be okay. But the problem is, as the depth now is that in the winter it'll just freeze like a brick. You know, a person could. You could possibly insulate it enough so you might get through the winter, but it's going to be a tough battle.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. So, okay, well, thank you.
Sure. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Chuck. Now we're going to move over to Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Dave. Oh, hi, Dave.
Yes.
I've got in the backyard soft maples that grow really good. I've got few of them that's coming up from seed, and I left one grow in the back there because it just has a perfect straight nice trunk and everything. And
sure.
Anyway, I'm at a point where I want to transplant it to the front yard, but
okay.
It's very, very straight, but it's growing a little bit at an angle. Can I plant
right.
That straight and it will grow straight?
Sure, you could do that. When you replant it, just plant it so it's going straight up and down. The other thing that will happen is if you plant it the way it is now, the new growth that comes this year, that would be straight anyhow. It's typical.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the whole trunk of the thing is
typically.
Yeah, a little bit at an angle, and I want it straight. So.
Right.
But
sure.
Just plant it straight, and it should go that way?
Yes, it should. Should not be a problem.
Right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Sure, anytime. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Let's swing over to the text club real quick. This person says, I have a bleeding heart, roughly 8 years old, that blooms every year. After it blooms,
right.
It turns yellow and dies off. It's on the east side
right.
of the house. Why does this happen?
That's normal for bleeding hearts to do that. Mine does that, too, by midsummer. So it starts to yellow and dies down. And then the following year, it comes up and it's fine again. So it's a common thing for them to do.
And is there, I mean, nothing to worry about then? It's just, should you be cutting that back at all after it dies?
Well, after it turns yellow and dies down, yeah, you can clean them, cut all that stuff back. But it's not unusual for that to happen.
Okay. This person says, a 10-year-old silver maple tree. Can I cut the lowest branches off that are about 3 to 5 inches around so it's easy to mow underneath, or should I wait?
Well, you can take the branches off. The only downside to doing that is the more branches you've got, but the faster food it produces and the faster it grows. So there's kind of
we're losing
the trade inches you have.
Okay.
So it's excuse me. If you want it to grow faster, of course, leave the branches on until it gets a little bigger.
All right, sounds good. You're listening to Plant Talk on KFGO, part of It Takes Two. Plant Talk, the longest-running segment in the history of KFGO. Always proud to have Dave DeCock on the airwaves with us here. If you want to get on the phone line, the number to call, 237-5948. You can also text in questions to 35270. That's our text club sponsored by 702 Communications. Plant Talk with Dave DeCock is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans, the right plant place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Welcome back to It Takes Two. Plant Talk is taking over the airwaves. Plant Talk with retired horticulturalist Dave DeCock, brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Gene's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. On the line with you right now, and he's been very patient. Thank you very much for that. We have Dick.
Hi, Dick.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for the time. Question about hostas and slugs. I have a number of hosta beds around the yard, and it appears like the slugs are getting into some of them, and some of them quite a bit. Some they leave alone or seem to leave alone. Question is it slugs or small holes? And then the other thing is, you know, I've tried like Bug Getaway, and I've tried stale beer. I've tried some other things. Is there something that works with slugs and hostas?
First off, is there any mulch or anything around the hostas?
Yes, there is.
Okay, if you get rid of the mulch, that will help quite a bit.
Okay, all right.
Now, basically what happens is the slugs, when it gets hot during the day, they crawl down and they get where it's cool and moist. And if you have the mulch, that's a good place for that to take place.
Okay, yeah.
So getting rid of a place for them to hide during the day is the first step. The bug getter, the slug getter, some of those kind of things. The slugs aren't an insect, so what happens is that they have to have a certain type of bait to kill the slugs. You've tried the slug getter, the bug getter, beers and beer pie tin buried with the, you know, so the lid is even with the soil, and you pour a can of beer in. That helps to some degree, but I'm not sure it does any more than get your neighbor's slugs over for a drink, too. So I'm not sure you get rid of them that way, but I would get the mulch out of there first and clean it up underneath so there's no place for them to hide during the day when it's hot.
Would you just leave it black dirt or would you put something else in there?
I would just leave it black dirt.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and you can use the things you've used before, but I think if the mulch is gone, the number of slugs would be decreased considerably.
Okay. All right. And there isn't a chance that it's anything else other than slugs, is it?
I wouldn't think so. You're seeing holes in the leaves. The leaves look kind of laced. I would guess that's slugs.
And they do leave some of them alone?
There may be some that are not as desirable as others. I'm not sure. There's a lot of varieties of hostas out there, so I'm not sure if some are more desirable than others and some less so. Thicker leaves may be harder to eat, you know, to eat through. I'm not sure why you'd have it with some and not others.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Try that. See if that doesn't help.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Next up for you, Dave, we have Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a poinsettia plant sitting out on my balcony. I live on the third floor. I have a big balcony, and it faces east.
Oh, sure.
I got the poinsettia plant at Thanksgiving time. It bloomed beautifully.
Sure.
And then the middle of January, the leaves started falling off on it.
Right.
And so I thought, I'm going to cut it off. So I cut it off.
Right.
So it was about 2 inches of,
okay.
of stuff on the bottom. And I put it in a window facing east, and I've been watering it and that sort of thing. And I did get three little red blooms on it, but it's now it's just all green, and it's sitting out on the balcony, and it is just beautiful. What do I do to get it to bloom again?
Okay, well, typically the thing with poinsettia is they need a long night to bloom.
Okay.
And basically what they need is they need about 14 hours of darkness each night.
Oh,
and it probably takes a month to 6 weeks for them to start to turn red. And once they start to turn red, then they'll continue to get red.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've done it before myself. I know it works. It's just that it drove me crazy putting it in the closet every night, you know. So I did it once. I know it works. I won't do it again. I'll just buy them in the future.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, it was given to me, so I have no money in it. And
right.
I just thought it's so pretty. And I thought maybe I could get some flowers coming. Now, could I wait till the end of the summer and then do
it
in the fall?
Yeah. Now, if you've got a room that gets nothing but outside light, then, of course, you wouldn't have to do that because it would be dark that long each night.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so then you could do that, and then it would turn.
Okay, thank you. I'll try it.
Sure. Well, good luck.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dave, we've got room on the phone lines for you at 237-5948. People can also text in their questions to 35270. Dave, this says, our corn got blown over by the latest storm. Wondering if you have any good suggestions on propping them back up to a more vertical stance.
Well, you could pop them up, and what you do then is you take soil from the rows in between, and you kind of mound them up.
Do you have to take it up?
A lot of times when we grew sweet corn, when I was a kid, we grew it, and we used a corn cultivator to cultivate it. And we'd go through fast enough so it would throw dirt up alongside the plants. And that helps hold them up. They get another set of anchor roots above the original roots, and that tends to hold them up. But if you can go ahead and straighten them up and take the hole and hold dirt up to them on both sides so it holds them up, they should form more roots there that are going to go ahead and help hold them up.
Does it need to be up to the level of where it bent over?
You can get the main stock up, but I'm not sure that if the rest of the plant is bent over, there's nothing you're going to do to get the rest of the plant straight. Typically, when they blow over at ground level.
Okay.
And when you get them straightened back up then, and you put soil on both sides, it tends to hold them up.
Let's swing back over to the phone lines. Mary Jane is on for you, Dave.
Hi, Mary Jane. Hello.
Hi. I have a question. Rabbits. How do you get rid of rabbits? I noticed they're starting to eat my cucumbers at the top.
Yeah.
You know,
the only sure way to get them is to physically keep them out of the garden.
Okay. But now they started cutting off the top. Is my cucumber gone?
Eating the leaves off, yeah.
Yeah. Are they gone?
If you can get some chicken wire or something that's a couple feet high and get some stakes or metal fence posts, something like that, to put them in and then pile dirt up around so the rabbits can't get in, then, of course, they're not going to be a problem. There are repellents you can buy, but the problem with them is if we get rain or something, they tend to break down, and then the rabbits are back in.
Right.
So just physically have to keep the rabbits away, otherwise they're going to eat.
But I'm hoping that I still get cucumbers this year from what's left.
Well,
right?
if you keep the rabbits away, that might be your first step. But if the rabbits keep after them, of course, you can forget it.
Yeah. One thing, too, other than Roundup and pulling weeds, weeds are going to keep coming back regardless of what you do, right?
What's that?
I've used Roundup, and weeds keep coming back. Unless you keep pulling them, they're always going to come back, right?
Well, the problem is there's more than likely a lot of weed seeds in the ground.
Yeah.
And weeds have the ability, they don't all grow right away.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if you get a lot of weeds and they have seeds, the seeds lay in the soil, the following year, some of the seeds will germinate and come up, some of them won't, some of them will lay there a year or two before they come up. So that's the problem you run into. Roundup can kill them, but it isn't going to affect the seeds.
Why can't they make it so rabbits eat weeds?
I don't know.
That would be so good. So make that happen, okay?
Yeah, right. I think I could get rich if you came up with that one.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks,
Mary. Sure. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary Jane. Maybe you can get your neighbors to help out on that one. I know a couple of them. They're good people. Next on the phone lines is Darwin.
Hi, Darwin.
Hello, Dave.
Yes.
I have a question on zucchini squash for you.
Sure.
It's been blooming. It's bedding the fruit, and they get 5-6 inches long, and it's like it gets an infection where the blossom was, and it starts to rot.
Right.
And it happened last year late in the season, but now it's happening to everyone that's coming on there.
It just, they reach a certain size, then they just turn to mush, right?
Right, and we've been trying to catch them early, and we just cut off the bad and been saving what we can, and it's happening to a few
guys
around here, too.
One thing to keep in mind, though, with cucumbers, squash, those kind of things, they need to be pollinated. And they have male and female flowers. The male flowers come first. The female flowers come a little bit later. The female flower has a little cucumber behind the flower, or the squash. They have a little squash behind the flower. If you're not getting good pollination, they will develop to a certain point, and then they just turn to mush and they fall off. So it may be that your pollination is probably not good.
What can we do to help that?
Well, I can remember a number of years back when I was doing the show with Jack Sunday. We went over to Moorhead to do the show at a garden in Moorhead, and the guy over there said he never has a problem because he sweeps his garden. He'd take a broom out and just sweeps over the squash and the pumpkins and all that. And what it does, it tends to take the pollen from the male plants and it carries it and it lands on the female flowers. And when it does, then they get pollinated, and then you get your squash or your pumpkin or your cucumber, whatever it is. My guess would be is you're just not getting pollination. Now, the first flowers that come, you look at them and you'll see it's a flower, but behind the flower there is no little zucchini. And that's the male flowers. The female flowers, there's a little zucchini behind the flower.
Okay.
But if they don't get pollinated, they don't develop. They'll reach a certain size, but then they just turn to mush and they fall off. But I would guess that's your problem.
Okay, we just need to help Mother Nature in the pollination process.
Right, right. And what he did by sweeping over it with a broom, he was providing enough air movement so that the pollen got blown from one plant to another.
Yep. Totally understand. Thank you very much.
Sure. Anytime. Bye-bye.
All right, Dave, let's swing back over to the text club. And someone reminded me, we were supposed to ask you, do you grow kohlrabi?
No, I don't.
Do you know anybody who does? Apparently, it's the most delicious thing that nobody ever eats.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's some listeners out there that do. I guess I just never have.
All right. We got some text messages that we're going to get cleaned up here in a little bit. We also have room on the phone lines if you want to get a last-minute question in to Dave, 237-5948. You are listening to Plant Talk on the Mighty 790 KFGO. All right, let's get right to the phone lines. Next up, we've got Darren for you.
Hi, Darren.
Hi, Dave. Hey, I just have a comment on the people that are saying with the problem with the rabbits. What I found out is I sprayed apple cider vinegar around my yard, and they left. I also asked them to leave at that time, and I'm not sure if it was me asking them or the apple cider vinegar, but they were biting off my flowers.
I would guess the vinegar had more to do with the thing that they asked.
That's what I'm thinking. But it worked very well.
Oh, good, good. Well, whoever called in is listening, and they can give it a try and let us know how it turns out.
Wonderful. I appreciate your show.
Okay. All right, Darren. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Is there nothing vinegar can't do? I'm hard-pressed to find that. Next on the line for you is Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi. See, I was wondering, I was looking for kind of a ground covering, and I've seen in southern states that there's a small sage varietal that acts as a perennial, as a ground cover, and I'm wondering, do you know of any sage that would survive the winter here and act as a ground cover?
Oh, man. Not right offhand. Not right offhand. I know sage.
But I don't know.
What's that?
I guess the goal that I'm going for is to have a ground cover kind of between, you know, some pavers, but as I walk on it, that it would release a nice fragrance. So it's not that I would eat
it.
Sure. I just want something right. Pretty and that smells good. Year after year.
Right. Well, what you could do is you could look up sage on the, you could probably look up creeping sage or prostrate sage on the computer and see what you find and see what kind of zone it survives in. If it's zone 3, it would be fine here. Zone 4 or 5, if you get good snow cover, it would make it through the winter. But right offhand, I guess I don't, but you certainly could do a search, and if there is something, it should show up on the computer.
Very good.
All right, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, next on the line, we've got Joe. Joe, I've got about a minute for you.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Quick question. Can I
sure.
cut the runner, nip the runners off with, like, a trimmer on my squash, my buttercup and butternut squash.
Sure. If it's getting out of line, just nip the tips off. What it'll do, it'll grow out someplace else.
Yeah. No. And then the other thing I thought of, can you turn them in a circle and just like make a pattern?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You could move it when they're starting to grow so that they grow back into the patch. You could do that too. Yeah.
I had 2 years ago, they ran up the evergreen. We had to get stepladders out to get them off.
Yeah, right. No, you can certainly cut them off or turn them back into the patch. That's not a problem.
Thank you very much, Joe. Great call.
Sure.
Another wonderful edition of Plant Talk with Dave DeCock. Dave, thank you so much for the time that you give the KFGO listeners every single week. It's just fantastic stuff.
Well, sounds great. We'll talk to you again next week, JJ.
That sounds wonderful. Plant Talk with Dave DeCock is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. You can listen to Plant Talk not only every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., but you can also find a podcast at kfgo.com, so you can listen to it at your convenience, or if you need to solve that ultimate argument about whether or not you can put some trimming done, or maybe if you can move rhubarb this time of year, you can find it all at kfgo.com and look for the It Takes Two section. Plant Talk is right there for you 24/7.